This lecture was done on the second month, the sixth day of the year 2022, the fifth Lord's Day after Epiphany. This first part of the lecture is dealing with schools that Catholics can attend. And I'm referring in this lecture only to colleges, not to grammar schools nor high schools. There are no grammar schools or high schools in the world that children can attend, or teenagers, because it's too damaging to their faith just merely because of the friendships they would make in these schools. And all these schools are teaching some type of immorality or heresies. And they are not old enough to withstand these assaults. Therefore, Catholic parents must homeschool their children when it comes to grammar school and high school.
Yeah, because I wanted to speak about the young guys and also Catherine and anybody who's thinking about wanting to go to school, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with school, you know, and learning. Learning is a good thing. You know, if colleges were good, and we know they're not, most of them are bad because of the bad stuff. But when you're talking about science, mathematics, there's a lot of good things that colleges can offer you in learning if they were good. Now, the only way you can go to school, and you could get your college degree if you want, but here's the parameters we're laying down. You can't live on campus. You have to live home. Okay, for the younger guys and younger girls, you got to live home. No on-campus stuff. You got to make sure that the school is not going to require you to cave in to the transgender homo community where you have to start using these pronouns. Because if they force you to do that, you say, well, then I can't go to your school. Because then you're just going to get kicked out. Because you can't concede to that. You can't do anything sinful. You can't concede to anything sinful. So if you're taking science like I did, and which is good, and they bring up evolution on the thing, you have to say, I don't. Evolution is a heresy. I believe in creationism. You cannot answer that the right way. They may flunk you. They may kick you out. They may say you can't graduate. Well, then I got to leave. But if they respect your religious liberty, which sometimes they might, you can say it's against my religious belief. I don't believe in evolution. And you get a chance to witness to the people in the classroom, too. So you'd have to get up and say, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creationism. So that's the end of that. Okay? And it may give you a chance even. Send them over to my and show them the stuff on it. So if you are going to go to your colleges, you got to make sure they don't make you can't do anything sinful. And living on campus is really bad because then you're here mixed in with all these heathen bastards. Can you imagine? Now let's say there is an example of a Catholic that doesn't have a family or is an orphan. I don't know. He does have parents or whatever, and he wants to go to college. He still can't live on campus. He has to get his own apartment off campus and go home into his own apartment. He can't live in that compound with all those crazy kids, with all those crazy maniac kids. And my thing, the best thing to do is, now getting back to the school issue, education is a good thing. You can learn languages. You can learn music. There's a lot of good things you can learn. Education is a good thing, even for women, to get educated. But the main thing, if women want to go to college to get educated because they're not thinking about getting married right away, unless certain women are called to be rulers even, and to hire, to be scientists even. There are certain women can be called to be doctors even. It's a rarity. It's an exception. It's not the general rule. Some women are called to be a great conductor. Or they can play. Look at your orchestras. They play good music. So it's a good thing for women to learn too. But what I would say though, unless you have a real special vocation to dedicate yourself to some type of a thing, a higher career or something, marriage and a family should always be on your mind. And even the women that were very intelligent, scientific minded, they'd have families. And when they go home, and they should be submissive to her husband when she goes home. Now, she didn't get showed in the crown movie with, although her husband was a little, yeah, with, who was it? Where's her? Thatcher.
Thatcher.
But, so even when a woman, if she has a higher position like that, and she has a family, when she goes home, she's subject to her husband, and she's very humble. She was like that. I thought Margaret Thatcher was like that. I never looked upon her as like a feminist. She was strong and powerful, but I never looked upon her as a feminist. But what I'm saying is the general rule is most women don't need to go to college. But if they want to go to college to learn because they're not ready to get married, fine. But if you don't have a general calling to spend your life in this type of a career, a higher calling, which is a rare thing, then always keep your mind on the fact that you want to be a mother. And now, a mother who's educated, it's a great thing for her kids, too, because she can teach her kids and she can raise them up. So school is a good thing as long as you're going. Now, what I said, too, if you're going to school, I don't know if you're going to find one today where they're going to where they're not going to force you to do something sinful unless you go to a conservative, nominal Christian group. Nominal Christian, like a Southern Baptist, and you tell the guy, hey, I'm Catholic. As long as you don't force me to be a Southern Baptist, I'll take your mathematics, I'll take your science courses, I'll take your music courses, but don't force me to renege my faith. So you made your testimony, and a lot of them will agree to that. They do. They'll say, okay, you can go to school here. We're not going to force you to become a Protestant, and we'll let you just take the courses where there's nothing sinful in it. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because your conservative, nominal Christian homeschooling things, or even your colleges, they're going to be more moral. They're not going to push the homosexual agenda. They're not going to push the transgender agenda. They're going to be teaching about at least creationism, but maybe not geocentrism. They'll probably deny that.
Go ahead. Say a good modern-day thing now, the curriculum's good. You've got online courses, so you don't have to...
Online courses is the best.
Right.
And online is the best way to go, or and it is. If you can, that's why I say a lot of these things I'm talking about now, like Christendom College, even a nominal conservative, nominal Catholic group, like Christendom College or something, where they got some good things, and you just don't answer anything heretical. And what did you just say there?
Online.
Oh, we're talking about trade schools too. Now, another thing for some of these younger guys, if you just want to pick up a trade, well, generally, at least in my day, when you went to trade school to be a plumber, to be a carpenter, me to be an optician, they don't require you to take humanities. And humanities is where they nail you. They teach you to perverted history. They teach you philosophy. They teach you to perverted theology. And so,
sociology, psychiatry,
all this stuff. And when they require you to take those courses, and if you were going to that college and they say, if you want to go here, you want to graduate, you've got to take philosophy and psychology, you have to tell them, I can't take those courses. It's against my faith. They say, well, then you can't graduate. Fine, then I'll find another school. Then I'm going to go to another school. That's the end of it. I can't take philosophy. I can't take psychology. You know, I can't take your sociology, which is social worker crap, and a lot of your history courses. Now, maybe they might... somebody might have a history course that's not bad, and there's some things you can believe about. Most, they lie a lot about the history of this country. But some stuff is true and some stuff is false. So you got to be very careful the school you choose to go to if you're going to it, and that you don't consent to anything sinful, and check it out ahead of time before you pay tuition and end up going there, and then they end up kicking you out because you told them or they flunk you and you can't graduate because you're not going to consent to something they're going to require you to believe in. So, I mean, that's...
And they say no refunds, like, if you...
Oh, yeah, once you paid your tuition, yeah.
Yeah, no refunds.
They're not going to give you a refund, dude.
No.
So, you got to be careful on the... But, like I said, like Will said, your online schools, or even some of your nominal Catholic schools that are conservative, you might find a curriculum there that you can deal with. But you have to tell them, too. If they're going to say, you know, about the popes or anything like that, you say, well, I don't believe there's a pope. I don't believe that, okay? I'm not going to call him the pope. He's not the pope, and I'm going to tell you why. Well, if you don't call him the pope, you can't graduate. Well, I can't graduate. That's why you might even be better off going to Southern Baptist school, you know, or evangelical or one of those.
That's part.
Go ahead.
So if a mother has available to her a decent nominal Catholic school that doesn't teach heresies, what do you think?
Okay. Yeah. As long as they're not, they're probably going to teach heresies, but they can't consent to the heresies, and they have to tell them that. So, like, let's say they go to a nominal Catholic school, and of course they would have to say, I'm not going to take religion courses, I'm not going to take theology courses because I don't agree with your theology, but I'm going to take. Go ahead.
Well, in terms of homeschooling, is that like, is it not always a thing that you have to do with homeschooling, or is it just much preferred?
Well, homeschooling is the preferred method, but they still may make you, depending on where you go, and even if you're homeschooling. Now, to get your high school diploma, it's not so bad. But college, they might require you to take, let's say they say, even a nominal Catholic school, you have to tell them, I can't take your theology courses, because I don't agree with your theology, and I can't take your philosophy courses. And then see what they say. And if they say, well, and you just tell them, look, I want to take, these are the courses I want to take. Mathematics, science, languages, grammar, how to speak, chorus, music, certain things you can take. And you tell them, these are the things I want to take. And I can't take the religion or the philosophy, it's against my religion. to take it, and then see what they say. Because if they require philosophy and psychology or theology to graduate, then you're in trouble. You'll never be able to graduate, so then you don't graduate. But you can even say this. I mean, I would say this even. Okay, maybe I don't graduate, so I don't care about the diploma, but can I take the courses? Because I want to learn. Can I take the advanced scientific courses? Can I take the music courses? Can I take the languages? Can I learn the good things from you? But just don't graduate me. That's all. And they got sort of courses like that for adults. You know, you can go to these schools and pick out one course.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. It's not a matter of getting a diploma. So then you can also tell them, okay, well, I don't want your... Because what's a diploma good for anyway, unless you can get a position in... Most of your high jobs where you require a diploma, they're going to make you do something sinful, almost for sure. You know, and your white-collar jobs and all that, I don't know where you're going to get a job. Maybe you could. You can try, but I don't see it. Unless you get a few conservative, nominal Christian groups that have businesses you can work with. But you could even tell them that. Like, okay, I understand. If I don't think philosophy and psychology, I can't graduate. Can I at least take these courses, though? I don't care if I graduate or not. I just want to take these courses so I can have this knowledge and this education. And then if they say, okay, okay. And see, when you go to school, you pay for the courses you take. It goes, how many credit points and all that, you know how that works. So that's an important thing to talk to about those younger people who are thinking about at least getting their high school diploma, maybe go to college. I'm not saying you can't. You know, now, if you went to higher education, like when you go in to become a doctor, they don't have any humanities. It's just pure doctor stuff. So you can do that, you know. And you, once you're old enough and you're faithful enough, and you're the younger kids, you got to watch out a little more often for. They can be strong too, though. But if you're like in your 20s and you're solid in the Catholic faith, you can go to a medical school and get a medical diploma, and you can still, if there's anything in the medical school that they tell you that's wrong about evolution, you raise your hand and tell them, "I don't believe in that." This is besides the fact that what I think in these final days is going to get harder and harder. But I don't want to say it's impossible, neither. I'll just say if it's possible, fine. Try to find a place. Maybe you got to go to Hungary, because Hungary's very conservative now. Or move to Russia. So if you want to go to college, maybe they got better courses over there. But we're in the days of the Antichrist, so he's going to be controlling most of the world. But I'm still not against education, okay? So education is a good thing. And it's a wonderful thing to want to learn good courses. And that's what I do. When I went to college, I loved science. And I took all the science courses. Botany, I took your math, calculus. I got like an A+ in calculus. I was very good in all the sciences. You know, biochemistry, I love chemistry. I love biology. I love botany. I studied botany about the plants and all. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, so learning's a good thing. But that's the situation that you're going to find yourself in if you want to go to a school today or get diplomas. You may have to detach the diploma from the education if you find out that you can't get the diploma unless you have to take the philosophy or theology course. Then you just separate the diploma from the education and you find a place where you can go where you can just take these courses to learn. You know? Even choral music is good. Like at Catholic University in America, it is a horrible place, as I told you. But the music students are the most serious. They stayed home, they stayed by themselves, and they really were dead like symphonies. Real full, and it was good. You know, they were better. They were not mingling as much. They were more off. It was a real serious course of study to learn music. So they had a whole classical musical department. So there's your thing on schools. For anybody who wants to go to school, it's not bad to go to school, but those are the parameters you're going to have to follow.
Suppose in music or art, you can't learn about, you know, the modern contemporary art, and there is modern contemporary music as well.
That's right. And you'd have to reject that. You have to say, I don't want to learn that. I don't like the modern music. A lot of Jews messed up classical music too. A lot of Jews, they came in and they got the classical, like jazz even. There's good jazz and bad jazz. The bad jazz is like, it's like they're all over the place. You know, purposely making you sit back and go, what the heck is that all about? It's like modern art. So if you do take an art or a music class, you cannot, when it comes, you say, I can't listen to that song, I don't play that kind of music, I'm sorry. I sit that one out. or I'm not going to paint that painting. You can take classical painting courses where they only concentrate on the classical form of painting. You can't take the modern art. So you have to be careful about what kind of thing you do in that arena. But the big thing, too, like I said, especially now, like if you're going to medical school and you're in your 20s or something, you might have to travel somewhere. You live in your own apartment. They don't have like dormitories like these colleges. You look at these college football games and all these kids living together. What a prescription for lust and drugs and all kinds of horrible stuff. You can just imagine what's going on in these schools. How could you leave your kid that God has given you to sit and live with all these heathens and be surrounded by that atmosphere? Now, if you had to by force and you're a good Catholic, God will give you the grace. But if you do it voluntarily, you're done for. You're cursed. God pulls his grace away. You're going to fall for demons of lust, drugs, homo, lesbian, or you're fooling around with even out of wedlock. All kinds of stuff is going to happen to you. And you're going to fall prey to caving into all this political correctness and all that. So you got to be very careful. And if anyone who's coming into the church or is in the church, a catechumen or a member, it would be good. I want you to come to Will, and he'll analyze what school you're considering, and he'll give you guidance on it and counsel. And then tell Will what you're considering. He'll look it up. You can even call him up himself. And if you're trying to talk to these people, say, well, what religion do you belong to? Well, how do you speak to one of my rulers in the church? And then you can speak to them on the phone. Will can call them up. Yeah. Look, they want to take these courses, but they can't take these courses. It's against our religion. You can even threaten to bring them into, you're probably not going to succeed, though. And I don't spend any money on it, but there's a group here in this country that's pretty good on defending religious liberties. You could threaten to sue them. You're going against my religious beliefs by forcing me to take this. I want the diploma, but I don't want to have to take the philosophy and psychology. I'm sorry, it's against my religion. That's why I say, if you go to some of your conservative, nominal Christian groups even, they may not require all of that. Some of them may be better than others. So that's on the school thing. If you had no parents, you can have, if you had another Catholic friend to live with him, if it's a girl, you can live with a Catholic girlfriend. Two Catholics together, it's like a pillar. You can support one another. It's amazing when you have two people. And somebody was thinking about the other day, too. A lot of times when they would the monks would tell people to go, it's always in twos. They never let the guy go alone. Sometimes you can go alone. I'm not saying you can't. But there's a benefit to two, because sometimes you can be tempted greater when you're alone. There's a temptation. You're alone. No one's around. No one's watching you. Let's say you're a little weak, but you got a Catholic brother with you. You don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. There's an extra pillar there. I was alone for a long. If you're right with God, you could be alone. But I do know it's a benefit always to have a brother with you. And when there's a brother with you, you're not. If you're thinking about doing something, the brother's going to see you, and I'm going to see you. The thing I told when I was converting, people don't realize that I was never alone when I was alone. You guys know what I mean? I was never alone when I was alone. My guardian angel, God, Mary, the devils, and the devils too, and in the room. They see you right now. There's devils all around us, and they're watching you. And they're taking notes, you know. Sometimes God kicks them out of the room temporarily, but they're in our flesh. They have control over our flesh. So the devils know what you're doing, okay? They're going to use it against you. But the biggest thing is that when I was converting from my sins of lust and all that, and God said, do you want the Blessed Mother to come into your apartment? And you're looking at pornography, or you're doing this, or you're doing that. You want her to come in here when you're doing that? Think about that. And when you really know God is looking at you, then when you really believe in God, you see, if you really believe in God, then you know he's watching you. You know you're never alone. There's a saying that they used to always say, whatever you say alone, pretend that you're saying it out loud in public. I forget, there's like a saying, my mother used to say that, a German mother. They had some good things, you know, like what you do in private. Don't do in private what you wouldn't do in public. So I always, what's that? I said, I know God's looking at me, and I know my angel's looking at me, and I don't want to give him any heartaches. I am always confessing to my guardian angel, so I'm so sorry you had to look at all the crap that I did in my life. But they're happy when you convert, too. So, but it's still always good when you have another human being on earth not just even just to keep you in check, because if you're already completely right with God, that's okay, but they can help you. Just one other person can help you a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
There's two Bible verses I thought of in relation to that. One is the Matthew 18:15-17, where if you're trying to convert a brother and he disagrees, then you go ask two.
Oh, yeah.
If you disagree, go to the church.
Right, because you got the witness, the testimony of two. So it's good for testifying that when things happen, you've got a backup testimony. And it's also good for just physical support, too, and spiritual support, people you can pray with. Look, they got three people together right now up there. It's a wonderful thing when you have brothers together who have the same faith and they're in unity.
Then you have Luke 10:1, and it says, and after these things, the Lord appointed also 72, and he sent them two and two.
That's it. You're right. Two and two. You know, I would maybe think that the other day, too, because I was watching something. When you're weak, too, it's really good to have a brother with you, too. If you're not 100% and you're still tempted a little bit and you fall every now and then, but you're still struggling, it's even better when you have a brother with you when you're weaker, even, because then it keeps you straight. It does. It keeps you. You don't even think about it. And his faith, and you can strengthen one another. But even...
I just have a little...
Yeah.
Jesus said, what was the verse? You'd remember better, but he's basically saying that if one or more, or two or more people pray in my name, there I am.
There I am, yeah. Right. Which is like a confirmation. Mm-hmm. I've got to take this off. It's getting a little hot in here. I don't know why. I think you can cook a hamburger on me sometime. Yeah. Come back.
Fry an egg.
Do you have an article on King Solomon?
Oh, yeah, it's in the Bible on Ecclesiastes about his conversion before he died. It's in the Bible, and it's at the very introduction. And it's amazing because we always talked about that, and I thought he didn't at the beginning. I said, nah. But then you read Ecclesiastes, here's a man repenting of what he already did. And he's speaking from experience about how vain everything is. And if you watch the movie Solomon, it sort of shows him repenting in the end. He goes before God and he repents, and then he tells his son to obey God's commandments. And when you read Ecclesiastes and you look at my commentary, which I have it right at the beginning, and I am going to post up an article about Solomon's conversion. And so I firmly believed he converted for several reasons. And even God says, I will not take my mercy away from Solomon as I did from Saul. Your son, if he sins, I will punish him, but I will not take my mercy away from Solomon. And it's when you look at my commentary on here and you read Ecclesiastes, it's really great because you'll see it. He's speaking from experience when he was bad. And he's now telling people, don't do like I did. And then he sums it up by saying, serve God and obey his commandments, for this is the sum of all things. So you see a guy speaking in there who fell away and who's now repentant, and a lot of things he's speaking about how vanity and all that is from his own experiences when he fell away. So I make a really good case, and I believe, it's just an opinion, but I think it's a really good case on his conversion on his before he died. Somewhere before he died, he converted. The movie shows that. And so we thought in the movie, should we cut it out? But I kept it because I said it could be true. And now I believe it is true. You know, because it has a lot to do with when you're reading Ecclesiastes. And a lot of people didn't want it in there because they were thinking he wrote that when he fell away. But he didn't write that when he fell away. He wrote that when he repented, and he's reflecting upon when he did fall away. It's clear when you read the whole thing. So you'll see that. It's in the Bible, right on the introduction of Ecclesiastes, the book, and you'll read that whole thing there. And I'm going to put up a whole article on that. That's one of my, I've been waiting to put that one up too. All right, let's see. What do we got here? What time is it?
12:46.
Oh,
no.
12:46.
11:46.
Oh.
That's an hour.
We end by 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Hour and 3 minutes.
All right. I got all nervous. I lost an hour of time. Whee! I was in the twilight zone. Oh. Yeah, there is a twilight zone. That's where the devils are. And even our angels are there, too. But twilight, that's where devils and damned humans are. Oh, there's another world out there, all around us. St. Paul says, tells you to wait. I always say, what do we say? There's a war going on down here. There's a war going on down here. That's the first thing you tell your kid when he comes out of the mother's womb.
Yeah.
The first thing.
Yeah.
My son, there's a war going on down here.
Side of the church militant.
Yeah.
Church militant.
Yeah, militant. That's why they call it militant.
Exactly.
Don't let anyone lie to you with the smiley faces.
Exactly.
Yeah. This ain't paradise, son.
Yeah.
They really want this to be paradise. They're anti-slavery people. That's what they're doing. Victoria showed you a really good... That was a great movie. Really good movie. So I've got to watch these things historically. But it shows you how they were... one group was for slavery, the other group was against slavery. And the mushiness that was happening where they were going against slavery, because what they were trying to do is bring the second coming of Christ before he... Who's going to bring paradise on earth? Christ. It's in the Bible. Until then, it's an evil world. It's in the hands of... Christ brings it when he comes. They want to bring it now. They thought the first coming brought paradise. You know, that's what the original Jews thought was going to happen. Anyway... overconfidence, and Charlemagne had a good scene in there where one of his wives was being overly sympathetic to Pepin the Hunchback, and she thought she was doing some good, and their mother was good. Charlemagne's mother really good in that whole movie, very strong. And she said, be careful about your sympathy for him. They're going to use him against your King Charles. He's going to use him against the king. And she said something like, she goes, what's he called? She said,
you're
well-meaning.
Yeah, you're
she goes, you're worse than anything, because you're well-meaning. You think good of people. You think too good of people. We're taught never to think good of people unless they become members of the church. We love them, but don't have no confidence in people. Hate the world. Now... Also, Will was keeping a big secret from all of us. The big secret. In Ireland.
And he
owns a pub in Ireland! This guy! He owns a pub in Ireland.
The three of them exposed me, Dave.
He owns a pub in Ireland! Yeah! And guess what he called it? The egotistical maniac. William Norris. It is! They were in there the other day evangelizing. Were you on the Discord? Did you look at it?
Yeah.
And was it a Donegal?
Or Derry.
Derry?
Yeah. Oh. Well, William wasn't dropping it away for us, so we started finding it.
This name, you see it right there. William Norris. You know, I say Will looks more Irish than English. But although they say Norris is an English name.
It's an English surname.
It's an English surname. So he is what his father is.
Yeah.
But he looks more Irish.
Yeah.
His looks. But in his case, he's English, but his mother's Irish.
Yeah, she's all Irish. And then my dad's mom, my grandma, she was a little bit Irish.
Oh, so you got like a double in there.
Yeah, I know.
That's where you got the more Irish than the English.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe you're going to bring these groups together.
Yeah.
You know, I know that Ireland has a big beef against England, and I, you know, what they've done. But there's still some good people in England. England still has some upstanding rules and laws. They still do, though. And not everyone's the same in England. There's different kinds of people in England. And they do have an admirable discipline, an admirable form of government. And so there's a lot of good things about the English people, too. So, and God used them to punish. You go ahead.
Me and Declan watched the film Elizabeth the other night. And we're pretty sure there's no good guys in that, correct?
Oh, in the movie Elizabeth? I'm not sure. I forget the movie. I remember the movie. We have it in there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one?
Yeah, the Spanish nominal
Catholic. Oh, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what's good about that movie? This always answers my question. When I found out that Philip II was a rat bastard bum, that he was an idolatrous, apostate piece of crap that had a naked Venus in there and had all these mythological creatures, that answers a lot of my problems. Anglican England was not as evil as some of your nominal Catholics. They weren't good either. They were doing bad things, but not as bad as the nominal Catholics, because my problem with that, and that movie was accurate, it downplays Philip. Also, Philip went to Jews and took a loan from Jews at usury rates to build his fleet. Well, already you committed a sin. Forget the other stuff that Philip was doing. But I used to think he was a hero years ago. So when I found out, I said, oh, he's gathering his fleet together, and he's going to go back and take England and make it Catholic again. Now you got this giant fleet, and you're thinking, why would God not want this? To punish the Anglican English. And now we know God's hand was on this, because what happened to that fleet? A storm rose up and destroying all his boats. A storm. It didn't even happen in combat. There was a few combats they had later on, but if you read, most of the fleet got destroyed by a storm. That's the hand of God. Telling you that he favored the Anglican English more than he favored Philip and the Spanish. I mean, it's in your face. That one always baffled me. Because the Anglicans could use that to say, hey, God's on our side, you know. Hey, he was on your side, like Nebuchadnezzar. He was on Nebuchadnezzar's side to punish his chosen people when they went bad.
Yeah.
So you're not good neither, but you're not as bad as them. I mean, and then when I found out what Philip was doing, on the first, he went to the Jews, which is bad enough, but then what about the mythology? Whoa. He was unbelievable. He loved the mythological creatures. He had pictures of naked Venus in his palace and all that. Philip II. Right? So, who's good and who's bad? You can cry, why is God not allowing us to take back England, even down till today? Because you're not worthy of it. You know, that's almost like a sign of the great apostasy right there. That God allowed them to stay in power since Henry VIII, and they never lost. Now, Mary came to power, and there's a little struggle, but Mary it became Catholic again, then it became Protestant again, and then it's remained Anglican. And
that's a great, it's a great curse for all those considering Protestantism at the time. Like they think, oh, we're being rewarded. Look at this.
Yes, you're right. Exactly. It's a false prosperity curse. You're right. And they look at it that way, that God was favoring the Anglicans. But I always use that example like Nebuchadnezzar and everything, false prosperity. You know? But, and the point being made here too, like, the English and the Anglicans still had some things in which they were better than even the nominal Catholics. There's some things they did have in which they were better. And plus, you know, they could even be part of the lost tribes like they say they are, like I believe even the Irish are. But, and even Hitler said, why are we attacking the English? They're Germanic, the Saxons. The true people in England, though, are the Welsh, the Picts, which are the Scots, and the Brits. And they're not really, they're almost like the Irish, Celtic. They're not, the Saxons came in, they're Germanic. And then the Saxons came in, and also the Normans.
Yeah, the Normans.
And the Normans. Normans are Viking people. That Normandy was named after the Normans, and the Normans are Viking people, and so are the Saxons. And well, even Hitler, you see that in these movies, Victoria. They're interesting movies to look at historically, really good. The Crown of Victoria. And you'll see there's a lot of good things the English had in their society, organizational-wise, discipline-wise. That's why he allowed them to control the world for a long period of time. But, and you can sit back and... I don't know. I would think God's... See, even like during the Hitler period of time, there was a lot of your Englishmen were supporting Hitler, and others weren't. So you had different, even down to today. You even had Henry, the guy, William, and they were wearing Nazi stuff. And they were laughing about... But Edward I, they have a link with the Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they were sympathetic to them. And
that was
when Churchill came in, the Druid Freemason, he pulled them away from the Germans, the Nazis. The Germans. The Third Reich. But anyway, there's a lot to be said.
Even that Joe Kennedy thing, right? Where he was
Joe Kennedy, too.
When he was the ambassador to England, and he was friends with those
that's
English
right.
that were pro-Hitler.
Even John Kennedy, the president, said history's going to record Hitler as a great statesman, as one of the greatest statesmen. Kennedy said that. But, so, there's a lot to be... Even Downton Abbey's a very good movie to watch. And what's great, it's a long series, but it's very good. And it shows you how... even in Victoria, and when you're watching The Crown, obviously, you see how they're even they want to get rid of the puppet monarchy. Because really, it's a puppet monarchy now. After Oliver Cromwell gets into a lot, when they started, they hated the monarchy. But the English people still love monarchy, which is to their credit. They still love monarchy. United States, all we hear about is they hate kings and queens.
Yes.
That's all we hear about in the United States. No king and queen's going to rule over us. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. Well, so the English has like what you call a puppet monarchy, but they don't even want the puppet monarchy. They want to get rid of the whole puppet monarchy, so you don't even have the semblance of a monarchy in England anymore. And you see how the monarchy gets weakened and weakened and weakened and weakened. And they got to go to the parliament's really one that's ruling everything, and it's just like a figurehead. But they, you know, there was, they still have a, had a lot of commendable, even in Downton Abbey you see that, where they're being disrespectful, where you have servants, you have masters, you have respect, you have obedience, you have discipline, and that started to break down, where people said, how dare him tell me what to do, you're serving his tables, why don't you go out and do this, what are you serving his tables for? So if you were like a good servant, they would look down upon you, but back then, if you were a good servant, that was like a badge of honor. And you were thankful to have such a job. They would vie for jobs to serve their masters. You see the obedience to hierarchy in Downton Abbey, and you see it breaking down as the movie goes along, where they're breaking down that obedience to the hierarchy. And you see it in Victorian. You see it in The Crown.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.